Chapter 1, Creation. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells us, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." The work of God in the new creation of grace is beautifully symbolized in the creation of the world. As the creation of the world was the work of God alone, so the making of men and women as new creatures in Christ is the work of God alone. Let me show you three things in Genesis 1 about God's creation. In these things, we see the work of God clearly in the new creation. The first thing revealed in the book of God is the creation of the world. The Word of God opens with a simple statement of facts. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is all we are told concerning the work of creation. No argument is given to prove the existence of God. Instead, His existence is simply affirmed as a fact to be believed. Nothing is given to gratify the curious minds of men. How long did it take for God to create the world? We are not told. How old is this world? We're not told. We are simply told, in the beginning, God created. The truth of God is stated simply as a fact to be received and understood by unquestioning faith. In the beginning, God. This is the foundation of all truth. All true doctrine, all true theology, and all true religion begin with this: in the beginning, God. All human religion and philosophy begin with man and work up to God. The Scriptures begin with God and work down to man. If we are to understand salvation, we must begin with God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam sinned against God and brought about death. But God was not taken by surprise. In the beginning, before the world was created, in anticipation of the fall, God provided His Son as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In the new creation, the sinner who is saved by grace repents, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and walks with Him in newness of life. But it began with God. In the beginning, God chose us in Christ, predestined us to be His children, and today we love Him because He first loved us. Everything begins with God. If we understand this fact of divine revelation, we shall not stray far from the truth. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. In fact, the word Genesis means beginning. Someone has said the book of Genesis is the seed plot of the Bible. It contains the seed of all the great doctrines and truths revealed more fully in the rest of the inspired volume. In the book of Genesis, we find the following seven revelations. 1. God is revealed. God is revealed as the Creator God, the covenant-keeping God, the Almighty God, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. From the opening verse, hints are given concerning the Blessed Trinity and the plurality of persons in the Godhead. The very name used for God, Elohim, implies a plurality of persons in the Godhead. The phrase, "Let us make man," certainly implies a plurality of persons in the Godhead. 2. The origin and character of man is set forth. First, we see man as God's creature, then as a fallen sinner, then as one brought back to God, finding grace in His sight, walking with God, and having been made the friend of God. 3. Satan's devices are exposed. The archenemy of our souls, the tempter, the deceiver, seeks to ruin men by calling into question the Word of God, casting doubt upon the goodness of God and raising suspicions about the veracity of God. 4. God's sovereign election is exhibited. God approved of Abel and rejected Cain. God chose Abram and bypassed his idolatrous neighbors. God chose Isaac and rejected Ishmael. God loved Jacob and hated Esau. 5. Salvation in Christ is displayed as a type. Our fallen parents, Adam and Eve, were sought and found by grace and clothed with the skins of innocent victims. In order to clothe the fallen pair, blood had to be shed. The innocent victim had to die in the place of the guilty. As those innocent animals were slain for Adam and Eve, so the Lord Jesus Christ was slain for sinners, that they might be robed forever in his perfect righteousness. 6. Justification by faith is revealed. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. By believing God's testimony concerning his son, faith receives righteousness, the very righteousness of God in Christ. 7. The believer's security is displayed. The believer's everlasting, infallible security in Christ is beautifully displayed, as the Lord brought Noah and his family into the ark and shut them in, so every believer, being brought into Christ by almighty grace, is shut in him, sealed, preserved, and kept secure by the power of God. They shall never perish. This list could go on. The incarnation of Christ is prophesied. His substitutionary death is portrayed. His resurrection and exaltation are symbolized. His priesthood is anticipated. And the blessings of Christ upon Israel of God are declared. Genesis is the book of beginnings, and in this book of beginnings, everything speaks of Christ. Christ is the tree of life in the midst of the Garden of Eden. He is the promised seed of the woman who crushed the serpent's head. He is the lamb whose blood was represented in Abel's sacrifice. He is the one whom Enoch believed, by whom he pleased God. He is the ark by which sinners are saved from the flood of God's wrath. Christ is the seed of promise who came from Abraham's loins, in whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. He is the lamb of sacrifice whom God provided to die in the place of his chosen ones. He is the ladder Jacob saw, by whom the blessings of God come down to men, and by whom men ascend to God. Christ is that priest after the order of Melchizedek, by whom God's elect are blessed. He is our Joseph, ruling over all things, in whom all things are, and from whom all things come. He is the surety portrayed in Judah. He is the lawgiver prophesied by Jacob. In the book of beginnings, Christ is all and in all. It is my desire that all who read this book will know Christ, who is the beginning of the creation of God. All things were made by him and for him. He is before all things. He is in all things. By him all things consist, and all things point to him. The new creation, which is our subject, begins with Christ. We must know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who made all things in the beginning, and he is the one who declares, "Behold, I make all things new." Let us refer back to verse 1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The creation was a reflection of the Creator. In verse 2, we read that the earth was without form and void. It was certainly not created that way. In its pristine beauty, the earth was perfect beyond imagination. And then something happened. It became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. In the beginning there were no groans of suffering, no worms of corruption, no darkness of iniquity, and no shades of death. God reigned supreme, without rival. But then the earth became without form and void, filled with darkness. Verse 2 describes the ruin and confusion of God's creation. The word was in verse 2 should really be translated became. God did not create the world in a state of confusion. Between verses 1 and 2, some terrible catastrophe took place. Perhaps this was the fall of Satan. Whatever the catastrophe was, it left the earth without form and void, a desolate, uninhabitable, ruined mass of confusion. We have no indication how long an interval there was between the creation of the world as it was stated in verse 1 and the ruin of the world as is described in verse 2. However, all that took place from Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 through 31 transpired in 6 24-hour days, probably less than 7,000 years ago. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. There is a difference between creating and making. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the world out of nothing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 31, God made the earth in 6 days, forming it and fashioning it out of that which He had created. A. W. Pink has said, "Out of the chaos was brought the cosmos, which signifies order, arrangement, beauty. Out of the waters emerged the earth, a scene of desolation. Darkness and death was transformed into one of light, life, and fertility, so that at the end all was pronounced very good." As this is a picture of the world's history, so it is a picture of man's history. At the beginning of time, on the 6th day, God created man. What a creature he was, created in the image and likeness of God, gloriously reflecting the very character of God. God himself said man was very good. He had no sinful heredity behind him, no sinful principle within him, no sinful stain upon him, and no sinful environment around him. Man and woman walked together with God in the bliss of perfection, contentment, and mutual delight. Man was delighted with God, and God was delighted with man. Then there was a catastrophe. It is described in Genesis 3. Sin dared to raise its horrid head against God. Man defied God's right to be God. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Man died. He was separated from God. The earth was cursed. It began to bring forth thorns and thistles. God's creature became without form and void. The dark slime of the serpent corrupted the race of mankind and is now found upon the face of the earth. This great catastrophe, the fall, is verified in the hearts of all Adam's descendants. Man is fallen. He is alienated from God. He is depraved. He is spiritually dead. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 describes the condition of fallen man, just as the earth after Satan's fall was in a state of disorder. So man, after Adam's fall, is too. The fallen state of man is a state of confusion. The earth became without form. Nothing was in harmony with God. Nothing was right. So too, fallen man is out of kilter. Nothing in him is in harmony with God. Nothing in him is right or good. It is a state of emptiness. The earth was void, utterly empty, incapable of life and fruitfulness. And man, without Christ, is spiritually void, empty and barren, incapable of life and fruitfulness toward God. It is a state of darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep. To be lost is to be under the power of darkness, to be under the rule of Satan, the prince of darkness. There is not one ray of spiritual light in man by nature. Fallen man has absolutely no spiritual knowledge or understanding. Until he is born again, man cannot see, know, or understand anything spiritual. The rest of this chapter, Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 31, describes the restoration of God's creation. I shall not attempt to explain the meaning of every verse. That's not my purpose in this study. I shall simply point out the spiritual significance of these verses. The order followed by God in restoring the physical creation is the same order which is followed in the new creation, in the restoration of fallen man by God's almighty grace. The work of God in the restoration of His creation corresponds exactly to the experience of a believer. Here are seven works which God performed in the restoration of His creation, which illustrate His work of grace in the believer. First, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth, no doubt, moved in its orbit and rotated upon its own axis, but its motions could not mend it. It had to be moved upon by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, it would remain forever without form and void. In the same way, regeneration is not accomplished by the works of man or the motions of his heart. It is by the working of God the Holy Spirit. The new birth is not an evolution, but a creation. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. As has been said, the new birth is not accomplished by man's movement toward God, but by God's movement towards and upon the heart of man. Second, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let us note this. If the Spirit of God moves upon a man, it is by the Word of God. No fewer than 10 times in this chapter do we read these words, and God said. God will not work apart from His Word. Without question, God could have refashioned and restored the earth without speaking a word, but He did not do so. His purposes were worked out, and His counsels were fulfilled by His Word. Light came and was produced by the Word of God. These two things are inseparably joined, the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Word of God. The Word of God is the power of God. It is the source of spiritual light. It is the seed of life. It is that which conveys faith. It is the means of grace and salvation. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Third, and God divided the light from the darkness. As God separated the light from the darkness in the creation of the world, so He separates the light from the darkness in the new creation. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. By the power of the Holy Spirit working in the new man, the Word of God divides between the soul and the spirit, separates the spiritual from the natural, sinful mind. Those who are born of God know light from darkness, and they walk in the light as He is in the light. Fourth, and God said, let the earth bring forth fruit, where the work of the Spirit, the Word of God, and the light of grace are found. There will be fruit for God. This fruit is the result of a condition, not an effort. It is the result of what we are, not what we do. The fruit of Christ in us is Christ-likeness. Those who are born of God bear fruit after His kind. The seed within bears fruit after its kind on the earth. Apples produce apples, grapes produce grapes, and grace produces grace. The grace of God working in a man gives him a new, gracious character, and that character is seen in his conduct. Fifth, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. The lights must have been above the earth if they are to shine upon it. Like the lights in the heavens, all who are born of God have been raised above the earth. Ye are the light of the world. As the moon reflects the light of the sun, let us see that we reflect the light of Christ in this world. This is something we must do. Good works are the only lights by which the world sees Christ in His people. Let us be careful to maintain them. This must be clearly understood. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Good works have absolutely nothing to do with salvation. But that salvation, which is brought about by God, always produces good works. Sixth, God created man in His own image. Here is the climax of the Creator's power. God made man in His own likeness, and He made him out of the soil of the earth, even the earth which had become without form and void. Yet there is a work even greater than the work of creation. In the new creation, the God of all grace makes sinners new in Christ. God takes men and women who are utterly without form and void, spiritually, and makes them replicas of His Son. When God has finished His work in us, we shall bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Seventh, and God blessed the man He had made and gave him dominion over all His creation. Those who are born of God are blessed by God. All things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And one day soon, God will put all things under our feet, even as He has put all things under the feet of His dear Son. Then the purpose of God will be fulfilled. Then God will be all in all. Then the Sabbath. Then God our Savior will have finished His work. Until we are one with Christ, we are not in harmony with God's creation. But all who come to Christ, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all who are reconciled to God in His dear Son, are new creatures in Christ, in harmony with God, with His purpose, with His providence, and with His creation. And now, here's a note from Pastor Fortner with regard to chapter 1. The creation of the world was a work that involved all three persons in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, even as the works of redemption and providence involve all three of the divine persons. I am aware of the opposition of many faithful, highly esteemed expositors to this interpretation. Perhaps there are those who embrace it as an attempt to reconcile scientific speculation with biblical revelation. That is not my purpose. I am not at all concerned about the conflicts which exist between the changing speculations of science and the facts of divine revelation. I simply believe this to be the utmost accurate interpretation
of the text.